The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. The holiday shopping season is here, so it's time for Bubble Genius's Can't Catch Me Gingerbread Man Soap. It's a big-ass gingerbread man soap that you can enjoy without going right to your thighs. Unless, of course, you're washing your thighs, that is. Scented with a yummalicious gingerbread fragrance, all the decorations are soap, too. And at almost 5 ounces, it should last you a good long time. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had, but so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us. The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it. And now, as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
This year, the honor goes to Mr. Kramer.
Frank, no offense, but this holiday's a little out there.
Kramer, you can't go. Who's going to do the feats of strength?
How about George?
Good thinking, Cougar. Until you pin me, George, Festivus is not over.
Oh, please, somebody stop this.
Let's rumble!
Strength.
9 days left for Christmas shopping. 9 days left to fill the stocking. 9 days left for Christmas shopping. Only got 9 days more.
Hi there. It's getting late. It's getting late. You better hurry and finish your Christmas shopping. Only 9 days left.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hi, this is Yoko. I want to wish you and your family a very happy holiday season. Give peace a chance. I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Yoko. It is Tuesday. It is Tuesday, December 15, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show, or as we like to call it now, I knew I was going to do that once. We changed the title of the show slightly. I knew I was going to relapse back into the old title. It is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Got it? All right, I'm Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Yep.
Brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, as I just said. Best goddamn soap in the world. Still a little bit of time. Only 9 days left. Better hurry. Until Christmas. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group, attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Or go over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Or click the link on the podcast page and get free legal advice from Charles Bowen. Our pre-Christmas shows brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. Thank you to everyone who's been using the Amazon link so far this month. If you're doing your holiday shopping at Amazon.com, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com or bookmark it. And we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing. Help support the show. Okay, we got a big Republican debate tonight. I have no idea what network it's on. Is it on CNN?
It's on CNN.
Oh, was this the debate where Trump was demanding $5 million and then CNN said no and Trump said, okay.
Yeah, the art of the deal.
No.
He really worked that one over.
Right. Master negotiator.
Yeah. The only reason that I know it's on CNN is they're airing those stupid commercials where it looks like WWE.
Right.
Where it's like, you know, they're kind of, their faces kind of appear out of the darkness up close.
Oh,
Trump,
God.
Carson, Rubio.
It's just such.
Douchebags.
It's such. It really is. I'm going to be so happy when the Republican debates are over.
Yeah.
It's going to be, who's going to be on the stage tonight? Kasich, Fiorina, Rubio, Dr. Ben Carson, Trump, Ted Cruz.
And Rand Paul.
Yeah.
who, as Maddow pointed out, did not actually make it.
No, I don't know how he ended
shouldn't
up.
Shouldn't be up there.
Why is he? Maybe it's so it's even. So it's, he. So Trump is flanked by. Well, no, wait. It's not. Yeah, Trump is flanked by four people on each side. So visually, it's symmetrical. I have no idea. So that's why they include Rand Paul. Maybe. I don't know. Chris Christie plus Jeb W. Bush is going to be up there, too. I'm not sure how any of these guys are still in the race. Like Kasich, Fiorina, Paul, Christie.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are. What is Iowa like? 2 months? I think it's like 2 months from today. So, I mean, really, by this point, they should not be having these big cattle call debates with all of these guys. By this point in time, it seems like more people should have dropped out, and that indicates me
no,
more evidence.
I mean,
of
I think it's. I think once we get into the voting, you know, once we get into, you know, I think most of these jokers are not going to make it past like Iowa or whatever primary, whatever vote comes after that.
Yeah. But I mean, then again, I think like 40% of the Democrats have dropped out. I mean, there were only five to begin with.
Right.
So if you take the two out who were who dropped out, Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb both dropped out.
Yeah. When is like Super Tuesday? I just
super
like
Tuesday.
Saying that.
Yeah,
I have
super
no
Tuesday.
Fucking clue when Super Tuesday is.
It's super. All I know is it's super duper. Yep. That'll be, I think, I want to say it's March. I mean, I was kind of shocked to see that Iowa, at least Republicans in Iowa, don't caucus until February.
Right.
Which I thought is way late. Didn't it usually occur like in January? I thought it was like right after the holidays.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, but definitely... Nobody makes it past Super Tuesday. I think Super Tuesday is what's probably going to wind up thinning the herd.
Okay, yeah. Both the Republicans and Democrats caucus on February 1st. So that's later than usual. All right. Okay. I'll take it. That's fine. January, if you're a political writer like Chez and I are, January's going to suck, basically. That's I can already tell that because it's not only the holiday doldrums where no one's talking about politics, but then the political action really isn't going to get started until February as far as the primaries and caucuses go.
Well, that's the way it would be on a normal year. I mean, I don't know what traffic's going to be.
Well, no.
But you haven't factored in Trump.
Well, if the caucuses
changed everything.
That is true. I'm just saying that if the caucuses were in January, we wouldn't have to worry as much. And right. By the way, I want to say the word caucus as much as possible between now and the Iowa caucus because I like to say on the show. That's basically why I'm just spelling that out. Okay, so that's gonna happen tonight. I don't imagine anything differently occurring than usual. I know that Ted Cruz is going to be the focus of a lot of things. It's going to be Cruz and Trump battling it out.
Yeah,
you know, it'll be a battle between the two least authentic Republican candidates in maybe a couple of decades. I mean, the biggest phony balonies in the world. Donald Trump versus Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, just slimy, slimy, slimy. We're going to get to Ted Cruz here in just a second about whether or not he's going to be the nominee. Because he's leading in Iowa, according to some new polls.
Right.
So, but we've got some Trump news coming up. Oh, plus, you know what? Right out of the chute, let's just, I think we should do this right now.
Letters.
Or tweets.
Oh, we get letters.
This is a tweet.
We get your letters. Every day.
No more letters anymore, just tweets.
Mail today.
So we get tweets and Facebook messages and things like that. And this is my favorite one from this week. And see if you can make heads or tails of this one. This one came in yesterday to my Twitter account. It said, responding to my thing about Ted Cruz and Salon, it said, Cruz looks, you bashed. What about the fat pig Hillary Clinton? Why do you think purple finger goes to other women? Hill is a dog. That is an actual note.
Okay.
I have no idea what it even means. Let's try this again. Cruz looks, you bashed. What about the fat pig Hillary Clinton? Why do you think purple finger goes to other women? Hill is a dog. I don't even know. But good point. Well said.
That ESL class was money well spent.
That's right. So send your letters to dxmmedia@gmail.com. Yeah, no. You can send them to me via Twitter.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman. Mail today.
Okay. So moving along here. Okay, so let's get to this Ted Cruz thing, and then we'll segue into some Trump news today, because everything is Trump news. Everything going on in politics all revolves around Trump. But Ted Cruz leading in some polls in Iowa, which caused me to react this way. So, I mean, basically I said that. I was just like, oh, Ted Cruz is winning in Iowa. Who cares? It doesn't mean jack.
Yeah, it's absolutely meaningless.
Yeah.
The Iowa caucuses, you always get that sort of, oh, wow, what a surprise. Look who did really well. And it just doesn't mean crap.
Right. Here's Chris Saliza. Very serious Chris Saliza writes, the Iowa caucuses are 54 days away. Donald Trump is still the national frontrunner. Marco Rubio is now the establishment's best only hope. And Ted Cruz is the guy who looks best positioned to win. Maybe Iowa. But again, is Iowa even relevant anymore? I mean, what was it? In 2012, Rick Santorum won Iowa. Didn't do anything else. Before that, Mike Huckabee won Iowa. Pat Robertson has won Iowa. It's completely irrelevant anymore. There's just no idea. People are just looking for things to write about. And I guess Ted Cruz leading in Iowa is a thing, but it has zero indication as to who's going to win the nomination.
Yeah, they need a story. They need something. They need something that seems to change the narrative and upend whatever the current conventional wisdom is.
First of all, Iowa is not the bellwether that it once was.
Right.
And frankly, it's mostly not. It's not an indicator of who's eventually going to be the nominee. Sometimes it is, but that's the exception. The rule is basically like Iowa picks the wingnut. That's usually what Iowa does. Iowa goes because the people who go out to caucus on the Republican side are the real crazies, like the real wackaloons who are activated, and they go and they caucus, and they end up picking people like Rick Santorum that no one else in the country actually wants to nominate. And then, you know, the serious candidate emerges at New Hampshire. And in this case, the most serious candidate, strangely enough, on the Republican side is Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump is easily going to win New Hampshire. Donald Trump's going to win South Carolina. I mean, it's not going to be even close.
Yeah. And then comes the fun part.
Yeah.
Where they try desperately to figure out what the f*** to do about it.
They are so screwed because...
Yeah, they are. They're totally screwed.
Eventually, they're going to have to figure out... Well, they're either going to have to make peace with Donald Trump. I'm talking about the Republicans. Or they're going to have to do something radical that could end up splitting the party. I mean, for good. There's no way Ted Cruz gets in there. By winning in Iowa, I mean, have they not been awake? I mean, I'm talking about people like, as I said, like Chris Saliza, all of cable news. Had they not remembered what happened 4 years ago and 4 years before that?
Well, I think what's happening is that there is some sort of conventional wisdom. It's close to common sense. It makes sense when you say it that barring Donald Trump, in order for the establishment to win, it has to present to the crazies a candidate that's close to Trump but is not crazy Trump. And Ted Cruz is the closest they're going to get. He's the closest they're going to get to somebody who the people who back Donald Trump will look at him and say, okay, that guy still speaks for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that that's, again, I think that that's sort of what the thinking for these pundits is. I think they're kind of thinking like, all right, well, you know what? It makes sense in our heads to say that the establishment will present Ted Cruz as an alternative to Trump.
And it's entirely possible. I mean, I can kind of see that. I can
as much as the establishment, by the way, doesn't like Ted Cruz either. Because I mean, they think the same thing about him that we do, which is that he's a weasel.
Well, I mean, whether it's Trump or Cruz, and I think it's very unlikely that it'll be Cruz, but regardless of which one of those two guys it happens to be, they'll be the most conservative Republican that the party has fielded maybe since, I don't know, Barry Goldwater, perhaps? I mean, that's possible.
That's absolutely it. That's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether Trump gets the nomination, whether Trump wins, whether Trump's campaign is a quote-unquote success, he has changed the Republican Party by you know, not by drawing out this insane opinion, but by giving it a voice. The insanity was always there. It's just that the establishment Republicans kind of figured out a way to dog whistle it instead of coming right out and saying, yeah, all right, crazy people, here's, you know, we hear you, and here's, let's all say the word let's build up a wall and throw Muslims out.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I mean, Donald Trump has done more in the last 6 months than the Tea Party did in the previous 6 years.
Absolutely.
As far as the
thing is, there's no going back from this.
Yeah.
You know, that whoever wins the Republican, if the person who wins the Republican nomination is not Donald Trump, that person has to now be as close to Donald Trump as you can get.
I mean, they'd have no choice.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Donald Trump's insane rhetoric is going to move the party, because it's going to create these – it's already doing it. It's creating this situation where Trump's competitors have no choice but to kind of talk like him and kind of embrace the same crazy that he's embraced.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's true. God. They're really screwed no matter what they do.
Oh, absolutely. They're utterly
Thanks, Donald Trump. I mean, the more and more I think about this, the more happy I am about Donald Trump.
Oh, sure. So am I. I mean, I think that he's done terrible things, and I think he's having a very negative impact on the country.
That is true.
You know, I think he's giving voice. He's giving a very serious, very powerful voice to these radical, exclusionary, nativist elements in the Republican Party. I mean, these people who are now, when a black guy gets thrown out of a Trump rally, are screaming, "Set the motherfucker on fire."
Yeah, we've got that
take here. And are actually Sieg Heiling. Did you hear that?
Yep.
When you give voice to that kind of thing instead of basically saying, like, look, as a member of any political party, I say, that, and I put that in its place. I will not tolerate that. When you just shrug and go, like Trump is doing, or you applaud it, or you push it along, it's just the recipe for absolute disaster.
Yes, it is. And it gives legitimacy to that kind of language, making it permissible for all of these other people to talk like Trump. He is a poison inside the Republican Party. Absolutely. that is destroying the last vestiges of any decency remaining in the GOP. It is gone now. Yeah. He is obliterated.
And, you know, and this is there's the thing. There's the irony, which is that, you know, we want to say, as people who are not Republicans, we want to say pass the popcorn. This is awesome. Like, let him die. Yeah. Let Trump kill them. But it's his presence is bad for the country. In some ways, we're actually in the same position as the centrist Republicans, who are saying, look, we want to win. This is what we want. But we have to choose country over party. And this guy is bad for the country.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm loving that he's tearing the Republicans apart. But I know in my heart that he's terrible for this country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, there's something that's exciting about him doing this and him single-handedly destroying the Republican Party, at least from where I'm sitting right now. And again, half of all American voters then are going to be ensconced in some way, to some degree, in a party that is representative of Donald Trump.
Exactly.
And that's bad.
That's the thing that that S.E. Cupp said last week, where she said, we can't. You know, even if we lose, we cannot be seen embracing this. We can't do it. Mm-hmm. Morally,
yeah.
We can't do that.
All right, we're going to take a short break and come back with more show right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our brand new Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon? It's not a Dan Bedani mispronunciation of the word patriot. It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll add more shows every week, eventually every weekday. Plus, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content, like post-mortem shows, not unlike Bill Maher's overtime segments, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. F***ing awesome. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Let's do this thing.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Happy holidays, etc. Only a few more days for the war on Christmas to actually succeed, so, you know.
You know, I was wondering why there was so much reverb in the production on the song, and then I realized, oh, you know what? He recorded it in a men's room. You know, it's really not that, it's actually not that good, because I made a joke about, like, an event that happened, what, a decade ago?
Too soon.
Probably 2 decades ago? 20 years, it's like a 20-year-old joke?
That'd be like in the early 90s making a joke about, like, 1969, like some story.
Exactly. You know, I wonder that sometimes. I wonder if I've turned into Johnny Carson.
It's like making a, like, it's like 1992 and you make a Spiro Agnew reference.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm, like, honestly, if I've turned into Carson. Like, if I make jokes that, wow, you know, crap, man, that was, that's a long time ago. That's a long time ago to pull a reference out of my ass.
All right. So, meanwhile, Donald Trump, who's ruining the Republican Party, thank goodness, thinks he could have single-handedly taken out the Paris terrorists with his ankle gun.
His ankle gun.
His ankle gun. Trump walking around with an ankle gun, which calls to mind the vision of Trump's ankles, which I don't really want to think about.
Hey, no, his ankles are in great shape. He's the most extraordinarily healthy president this country's ever seen.
Yeah, big, beautiful ankles.
Big, beautiful ankles.
Yeah, okay, now that you mentioned that, let's talk about his health exam.
And then we'll was the most insane thing. You know, that's basically written by Donald Trump posing as a doctor.
Yeah, exactly. Donald Trump had a physical.
No doctor talks like that. Somebody, I think the Daily Beast analyzed it. They took that to a series of doctors. And somebody made the really great point. They're like, the doctor's note to get Donald Trump into class after second period said something about, you know, the lab tests that we perform, they're great. They all, you know, they were all nothing but positive. And it's like, you don't use the word positive when you're talking about someone's lab results.
Right.
That's just – no doctor in the world would say that.
This is doctor – it's Dr. Nick Riviera from The Simpsons is what it is. That's the guy who examined him. Like the guy who did the Joker's plastic surgery in Batman.
Hi, everybody.
Exactly.
So that's the guy we're talking about here.
I have to work with here.
He writes, the guy's name is Dr. Jacob Bornstein, MD, and he's in practice with his brother, Harold N. Bornstein.
No, it's his dad.
Oh, it's his dad?
Okay. Yeah, one of them, because originally, I think, by the way, I'm going to get this wrong, I apologize, okay. But originally, Trump tweeted out, you know, here's my report, I think it was Harold, he's like, here's my report from the eminently well-respected Harold Bornstein of Lenox Hill Hospital, which is, you know, Lenox Hill's in Midtown Manhattan, and he's like, and he says, you know, sends it out, but it turns out Harold Bornstein has been dead for like a whole crapload, like years, and it's his son Jacob who now runs the practice.
Right.
And he deleted the tweet.
Oh,
because he just doesn't even care. He doesn't even know who his doctor is.
Let's get some doctor music here so I can read the doctor's letter for Donald Trump here.
Really, Quincy?
I don't know. What can I do on short notice? It was either this or Doogie Howser. But I like this theme song, too, so. Just thinking of Donald Trump's big, beautiful ankles. Yeah, my ankles are terrific. Big, beautiful ankles. Just as Dr. Bornstein, I've got the finest ankles of any presidential candidate. That's why I keep my gun there. All right, it says, to whom it may concern, I have been the personal physician.
No, it doesn't say that. Read that sentence again.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yep. It said, to whom my concern.
To whom my concern.
To whom my concern. Holy crap.
Trump literally, like, on his way to deliver this to whomever or release it, he, like, he pulled his limo pulled over, like, on the corner of 7th Ave and, like, you know, 33rd Street or something.
Yeah.
And just, hey, you, come here. Just, you know, just do me a favor and write this out for me.
That's exactly what he did. So the doctor said, oh, you know what he did?
Just right outside, you know, like right outside Madison Square Garden. He just grabbed the first person he could find outside Penn Station.
Got them to sign it.
One of the homeless guys. One of the homeless guys outside Penn Station here.
Yeah, just like shove Jesse Waters aside and then talk to the guy. Okay, to whom my concern? I've been the personal physician of Dr. Oh, wait a minute. That's not doctor. Of Mr. Donald J. Trump since 1980. His previous physician was my father, Dr. Jacob Bornstein.
I'm sorry. I got it backwards.
Over the past 39 years, I'm pleased to report that Mr. Trump has had no significant medical problems in 39 years. That is BS. No significant medical, 39. Mr. Trump has had a recent complete medical examination that showed only positive results.
There it is. Positive results. And he doesn't really go into any sort of detail about, much like Trump himself, he doesn't go into any detail about what tests were given.
That means he's positive for full-blown AIDS.
Yeah, I mean, this is all this is it's a doctor's note. That's it.
I know. That like, is so funny.
Like, everything having to do with Trump, this is just, it's just bull. It's just half-assed bull.
That's right. It really is. Okay, let's get back to this. So, Mr. Trump has had a recent complete medical examination and showed that only positive results. Actually, his blood pressure, 110 over 65, and laboratory test results were astonishingly excellent.
Astonishingly excellent.
Wow.
Now, you could just, if this really was written by the doctor, you could just hear Trump is like Eazy-E during a recording session with NWA where Ice Cube's writing out lyrics and Eazy-E's like, no, make me sound tougher. That's not enough. You know, make me sound harder. Because these you could just hear Trump over his shoulder going, you need an adverb in there. It needs to be, it can't just be excellent. It needs to be astonishingly excellent. Which, by the way, is such a word that a doctor would use. I was just, wow, you know what? I was astonished by how excellent his health is.
Over the past 12 months, he has lost at least 15 pounds. At least. He doesn't have an accurate reading.
Yeah.
He couldn't just look at the medical records and say, Donald Trump weighed this amount 12 months ago and weighs this now. It's like, at least, somewhere in the vicinity, partly to mostly 15 pounds. Mr. Trump takes 81 milligrams of aspirin daily and a low dose of a statin. His PSA test score, that's his prostate.
I'm on a statin.
What's that?
I'm on a statin.
Oh, yeah. Okay. His PSA test score is 0.15, very low. His physical strength and stamina are extraordinary.
Of course. Of course, because he had to put that in. You know, my stamina.
Mr. Trump.
Make sure you tell him that, I'm good in bed. I can still get it up. I'm really surprised that's not in there. His ability to get a rock hard erection hasn't waned. Ever.
Trump's is not so clumpy, and it's nice and smooth, and frankly, it's delicious.
The longest penis I've ever seen.
Yes, I just said the phrase Trump's
his huge penis.
I doubt it is. His physical strength and stamina are extraordinary. Mr. Trump has suffered no form of cancer, has never had a hip, knee, or shoulder replacement, or any other orthopedic surgery. Like, why is he even mentioning that? It's not like, I mean, why even say it? If he hasn't, then he hasn't.
Right, he has exactly.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Mr. Trump has never killed a badger with a spoon.
Okay, his only surgery was an appendectomy at age 10. His cardiovascular status is excellent. He has no history of ever using alcohol or tobacco products. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, so do I.
Didn't mention cocaine in there, which I imagine was prevalent, especially in the 80s. If elected, here's the big payoff. If elected, Mr. Trump, I can state unequivocally, will be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency.
Yep. Ever, because he knows he's seen the medical reports on every single president.
Is he healthier than, he's certainly healthier than Taft. We know that. But is he healthier than say, JFK? Well, probably. He's probably way healthier than JFK. I don't know. Millard Fillmore, that guy could run like
Miller Fillmore. Like nobody's There's business. No way he was healthier than Millard Fillmore.
Millard Fillmore could run like the wind. Millard Fillmore had three lungs. So he was able to breathe like a monster. He was in terrific shape. Big beautiful Millard Fillmore.
Exactly. And James Madison's ankles. Amazing. Much better than Trump's.
James Madison's ankles. Holy crap. Well, there you go. Donald Trump in excellent condition. Thank goodness for that.
Astonishingly excellent condition.
Donald, astonishingly excellent.
Hi, everybody.
Donald Trump wrote on Facebook the other day, as far as his health exam goes, I am proud to share this report written by the highly respected Dr. Harold Bornstein of Lenox Hill Hospital, stating that I am in excellent health. I am fortunate to have been blessed with great genes. Both of my parents had very long and productive lives. I have truly enjoyed working on the campaign trail and with one objective in mind, to make America great again. People have been impressed by my stamina, but to me it has
there
been
it
easy
is.
Because I am truly doing something that I love. Our country will soon be better and stronger than ever before.
Just like me.
Just like me, because he's better and stronger than every president ever. That it's might like, be my favorite story of the week, right there.
It's like everything else with him. Everything. It's just a fucking farce.
Yeah, it is. Everything is superlative.
Yeah,
everything is the best.
Everything, yeah. Everything with him is the best. Everything is on sale.
I'm just typing down the name of the show today. Astonishingly excellent. All right. We're going to take another break and come back with more show right after this. Today's Bob and Chez Show is brought to you by the Bob and Chez Show store at cafepress.com/Bob and Chez. Stocked up and ready for holiday shipping. If you have a fan of the podcast on your shopping list, check out our variety of Bob and Chez Show logo items. Our store has something for everyone, from t-shirts to hoodies for both men and women, as well as shot glasses, beer mugs, messenger bags, and even Bob and Chez Show watches. And don't forget our exclusive Nyat and Who t-shirts. That's cafepress.com/Bob and Chez. For your holiday shopping. Thank you for supporting the big show and happy holidays.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Ankles.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, here's the assignment for all of our bestest listeners. All right, first thing you want to do, go to iTunes. Even if you don't have iTunes, you can go to iTunes, review the show, give it a 5-star rating too. All right, that's job number one. Job number two, if you're doing any last-minute shopping, only 9 days left, better hurry, then go through our Amazon link, right? If you go through our Amazon link, you go shopping at Amazon.com, and then we get a small commission from everything you buy. And all you have to do, really, is go to BobSesco.com instead of Amazon.com, and then you click the link, takes you to Amazon.com. It's one teeny tiny little step. Before going to Amazon.com, you go shopping as normal, you pay nothing extra, and then we get a small commission from everything you buy. Thank you for doing all of your shopping through our Amazon link and through BubbleGenius.com. Okay, moving along, back to Trump and his stupid ankle gun. Didn't they learn their lesson? Wasn't this a thing with Ben Carson, where Ben Carson basically insulted the victims of terrorist attacks? I think it was specifically the Paris terrorist attack, where he's like, you know, if I had been there, I would have killed him. I would have killed the terrorists. But these people, they didn't do anything. What's wrong with them? It's like, well, yeah, thanks
to
for
sleep. With a little of my magic dust.
I would approach the terrorist and say, "Hey, you, ISIS terrorist. My name is Dr. Ben Carson. By the way, I separated conjoined twins. Have you? Mind blown." Okay, here's what we're going to do. While you're shooting people up right now, and I know you're enjoying it, but I know what you'll enjoy more. I know you enjoy taking the Z train to Snoozeville. Going to blow some magic snooze dust in your face made out of 100% pure Ambien. Here we go. You can go to sleep now. Take a nice little nappy poo right here on the beautiful streets of Paris.
Dr. McCarson.
He's like Kilgrave on Jessica Jones, only he gets people to only do one thing, go to sleep.
Yeah, that's what he does. That's a superpower.
Instead of getting people to do anything, he just gets them to go to sleep.
Somebody, Dr. Ben Carson, got like raked all to hell for saying that about the victims of the terrorist attack in Paris. Right. Donald Trump just goes there.
Because it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can say that's going to stop this guy, that's going to make him more decent, that's going to bring him back down to planet Earth.
Yeah, right.
And not be a raging narcissist, megalomaniacal ass.
Well, I mean, the things that people get destroyed for in the press, Trump embraces that.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's absolutely part of his strategy. He knows now that no matter what he does, he can say anything. He can say stuff that would otherwise be a scandal, would be a major gaffe, destroying any other campaign. He says that. His poll numbers go up. Up, 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 up. And he's going to win the nomination. Just throwing that out there for good measure. He's going to win the nomination. Okay, so he said that he would use his ankle gun to take out the ISIS terrorists in Paris. Here's a little bit of that that audio.
And then what happened is Paris. That was a big one. That was horrible.
Horrible.
These people are animals. And I tell the press, they were saying the mastermind behind the attack.
By the way, in this speech, the speech in Las Vegas was insane. First of all, he spent like the first half of it doing nothing but the hack pundit horse race thing, where he's talking about the polls and super PAC money raised. I mean, he was basically doing a transcript of Morning Joe as his stump speech, but with his own ridiculous superlatives thrown in there.
Right.
It's like, I'm leading in the polls. I'm leading
in the
polls.
Yeah, that's it. It's all it is. It's the opening of almost all of his speeches. The first, you know, hour, since they always tend to run like, you know, it's like going to see Pearl Jam live. But it's always like, look at how good I'm doing. Look at this. You know, and it's one thing after another about how great he is.
Right. The Ted Cruz, he's winning in Iowa. We're doing terrific in Iowa. I think we're going to win Iowa.
But he's a loser. Low energy.
But he's a loser, low energy, slimy, slippery. And then we're going to go to New Hampshire. We're going to win New Hampshire. That's going to be we're locked to win New Hampshire. It's going to be terrific. Then we're going to move on. Some people very close to me, can't say who they are, say we're going to win in South Carolina too. We're going to win all up and down the board. We've been raising more money with our super PACs than Cruz and Carson combined. You know, it's just like all the bullshit that you hear from cable news. It's like he's doing it now. This is, again, another first for the American presidential campaign season.
Yeah. It's look at how great I am, look at how great I am, look at how great I am.
Yeah.
And the entire idea of that goes against everything that we ever thought about the very idea of what a president is, what any public servant is supposed to be, because it's right there in the word. Public servant.
Mm-hmm.
You are supposed to be doing this for the greater good of the country, not for yourself, not for your own ego.
Well, what's happened is and it really kind of started after Watergate, but I think it got really underway in more recent years, where I think mostly on the right, there's been an exposing of the presidency to make it seem as if anyone can do it. There's been a disillusionment that's occurred. The mythology surrounding the grandeur surrounding the presidency has been systematically torn down, and through mostly the GOP saying that, oh yeah, just the folksiest, you know, the folksy speaking guys, the guys you want to have beer with, they can be president. And so no one has expectations beyond that anymore, or very few people, certainly not Trump supporters. Their expectation is, he's just like us. And if he can do it, hell, I can do it too. I mean, that's a natural extension of it. If Trump can do it and he speaks for us, then maybe I can do it too. Maybe I can be president. A dumb effing slob like me can be president. And no, that is not the case at all. The very best, I mean, ideally, and I think there have been times in our history in which this has been the case. Certainly it was the case in 2008. Ideally, we want people who are far better than us to be president. Chez and I talk about this all the time. We need people who are our best and brightest to be president, our most disciplined Americans, our most accomplished Americans. And Trump is none of that. Trump is a YouTube commenter who happened to have inherited a lot of money. That's all he is. I mean, and the fact that he speaks for certain people shows that he's not folksy and just like them, shows that he's pandering to them. He's insulting the intelligence of all these people, like that woman we played last week. It turned out to be a politician anyway. So, you know, just, oh, he speaks for me. No, he's insulting your intelligence. He's patronizing you. He's certainly not speaking for you, and to the extent that he is, he's doing it out of a calculation that you can be easily suckered by this nonsense. That's the way Trump is operating right
sure.
now.
Sure. Oh, the whole thing is cynical. The whole thing is a
oh,
ploy.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. You know, we ran a little late with the segment, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and then we're going to finish up this Trump audio right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Welcome back to the show. Programming note for the Christmas and New Year's weeks. Friday's after party will be our last show of 2015. We're taking 2 weeks off. I think we deserve it, but you can decide yourself if we do or not. But what we're going to be doing for our Patreon supporters, we're going to be doing two very special holiday shows for our Patreon supporters. It's going to be a very Bedondi Christmas, part one and part two. All right, we're going to be doing two Best of Bedondi shows, each one probably around, I don't know, however long they end up being. I'm shooting for about a half an hour each. So if you're signed up to support the show every month on patreon.com/Bob and Chez, you'll get these two exclusive Patreon-only specials for the holiday week. So you won't be without us or Dan Bedondi. You can sit around and watch the burning Yule log and have your eggnog and cookies and whatever the hell else you have over the holidays, and probably a lot of booze, if I'm guessing correctly. And then you can listen to the glorious holiday sounds of Mr. Dan Bedondi from Infowars.com and TheTruthRadioShow.com speaking complete gibberish. And then Chez and I making fun of him relentlessly. Relentlessly pecking at Bedondi.
Merry, merry freaking Christmas, man.
So it'll be a very Bedondi Christmas for our Patreon people. Okay. Moving along here, back to the Trump remarks about thwarting the terrorists. Yeah, Donald Trump thinks he's like Neo from the Matrix. Like he's going to do a triple backflip.
Well, you know, he is an extraordinary. What is it? Astonishingly excellent.
That's right.
He has extraordinary stamina.
This guy can lift 2,000 pounds over his head.
Strength.
That's how amazing he is. He can run like the wind.
Yeah,
he's so fast you won't even believe it. Trump,
he's like that kid that you always knew like in elementary school who was really obsessed with Bruce Lee and he would tell you all the things that Bruce Lee could do. Like Donald Trump can like rip your heart out and he can show it to you and then he can put it on your butt and then it can be beating on your butt just before you die. Yeah,
yeah. You know there used to be a street named after Donald Trump, but it was changed because nobody crosses Donald Trump and lives.
There you go.
You know, Donald Trump has already been to Mars. That's why there are no signs of life. Donald Trump died 20 years ago. Death just hasn't built up the courage to tell him yet.
So that's we've turned Donald Trump into Chuck Norris.
That's right. I'm reading Chuck Norris memes. Donald Trump and Superman once fought each other on a bet the loser had to start wearing his underwear on the outside of his pants. Donald Trump once counted to infinity, twice. Donald Trump doesn't do push-ups. Donald Trump pushes the earth down.
Jesus Christ.
He's in astonishingly excellent shape.
He is.
All right, so here's this...
astonishingly.
The mastermind. Did you see the mastermind?
See
I
the
call
mastermind?
Him the guy with the dirty hat, right?
No, what the is he talking about?
He's talking about the mastermind of the Paris attacks.
Oh, yeah, right.
I call him the guy with the dirty hat.
I'd be the best, classiest terrorist you've ever seen.
This guy's wearing a dirty hat. If I was a terrorist, I'd wear a clean hat. My hat would be the most terrifically clean hat. It would be astonishingly excellent. That's the way my hat would be. Not like this guy. This guy's a slob with his dirty hat and his ISIS ways, killing people in killing people in Paris. Jesus
Christ. Tucking your shirt. You're going to blow people up tucking your shirt.
This guy probably wears tube socks with sandals. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be caught dead wearing tube socks with Docksiders, much less sandals. This guy doesn't know what he's doing with his dirty hat.
Jesus.
They build them up so big, and then they wonder why the internet is taking our youth where they're going out and they're fighting for ISIS. They're fighting for ISIS. They build these people up like they're Robin Hood. And so big. And they use the word, all of them, they use the word mastermind. And every speech I'd say, don't call him a mastermind. And you know what? Now they're not calling him mastermind anymore. It's really true. The press is not doing it, which is great. Which is great.
He totally changed the way the press operates.
That's right. I've changed everything.
Which to some extent he actually has, but that's a much more esoteric reaction.
I've completely changed journalism forever. Yes. They don't use words anymore. They just shout things. They go to the window and they start shouting the stories. Everybody hears them. It'll be terrific. Yeah, okay, Donald.
They say he's brilliant. He's brilliant. What, they drop a few people into these various rooms in France and they start shooting everybody.
Nobody said he's brilliant. Nobody fucking said he's brilliant. Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
Fuck you, Trump.
Yeah, seriously. Everyone's saying he's brilliant? What?
Nobody said he's brilliant.
I guess he's extrapolating the word mastermind.
Yes.
But... Jeez, really?
By the way, the guy that was talking about gun control over there, just so you understand, had instead of hundreds, Paris is the toughest. You talk about gun control. Paris has the toughest gun control just about in the entire world. France has the toughest gun control just about in the entire world. If a few of those people that are now dead, if a few of those people had guns strapped to their ankles or strapped to their waist, you wouldn't have the problem.
Again, it's the good guy.
There'd be more people dead.
Yeah, the good guy with the gun myth. Yeah. There are about...
Which is absolute crap.
About a million websites, reputable websites on the internet right now, where you can read analyses that completely debunk the good guy with the gun myth.
Yep.
You know why the NRA came up with the good guy with the gun thing? Fits on a bumper sticker. That's why. It's easy for people like Donald Trump. And
also because there's no response that more plays to the fantasies of the gun crowd.
That's right.
They have if you're somebody who carries a gun with you everywhere, you have this fantasy that you are going to be the big hero.
Uh-huh. Exactly right.
That at some point you're going to be called on with your trusty pistol to stop them terrorists.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Everything's going to do it. If I was there, if you were there, you would have gotten f***ing shot. Sit down and shut up.
Yeah, everything's going to work out like a Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah.
It's not. You were going to get shot. If not, you were going to get other people shot.
Mm-hmm.
What if you drop your goddamn gun, and then another terrorist picks it up and uses it to shoot more people after running out of ammunition? I mean, there are so many different hypothetical scenarios that could be played out in an active shooter situation, and any single one of them could turn into an unmitigated disaster. And there's one scenario that's remote and not even really a possibility of just some random vigilante citizen taking out a terrorist with a gun. Everything else, every other scenario in which a civilian, a bystander has a gun, the consequences of that situation are going to be disastrous. It's like having a gun in your house. Like, say you had your gun and it's sitting on the kitchen table. These are all just, I mean, these are just as hypothetical as Donald Trump's ridiculous scenario about him and his ankle gun. You know, you could have a gun sitting on your kitchen table. A burglar walks in, grabs your gun, and blows your entire family away with your own gun. Or your kid picks up a gun, shoots the other kid. Yeah. These are all things that can happen with guns. What you don't want and what we don't want in a society that is ordered and civil are a bunch of vigilante cowboys marching around with their holsters and guns. It's utter nonsense. We have law enforcement for all of this. And I go back to one of the biggest...
We are an uncivilized country.
I go back to the biggest example, which is Ronald Reagan was nearly killed, nearly assassinated by John Hinckley Jr. while he was surrounded by Secret Service agents carrying Uzi submachine guns. And one of those Secret Service agents was one of the guys who was shot. And James Brady was shot, and a DC cop was shot. James Brady nearly died. And you know how they subdued John Hinckley Jr.? They didn't fire a single goddamn shot. They tackled him down. They tackled him. They didn't need a gun to take down John Hinckley Jr. But the United States Secret Service, fully armed, didn't thwart John Hinckley Jr. using their Uzi submachine guns. And still, what was it, four people got shot, including the president? It's such nonsense, such a huge goddamn myth. That doesn't stop Donald Trump.
You wouldn't have the problem.
Mm-hmm. Listen, all these sycophants, all these people, yep. Just like, woohoo, yeah.
Yep. He's their voice. That's mm-hmm. all he's doing.
Really?
I don't think he believes any of it. Mm-mm. He doesn't believe any of it.
Nope. He's
just loving it. He's loving the attention.
And that's the best thing you can do if you're a Democrat, a liberal, and you get into arguments on over the Christmas holidays. You get an argument with your Republican family members or whatever. You're having an argument on Facebook or Twitter. Ultimately, the argument has got to come down to, show me that Trump has core values. I don't see where Trump has core values.
Oh,
look at the Democrats he's donated to and associated with over the years. Are you really confident that he's not going to appear in the White House and suddenly go, you know what, I'm tired of the Republican Party. I'm going to just support the Democrats now. We'll have a big, beautiful abortion clinic on every street corner. Big, beautiful door. It'll be terrific. You can walk right in, get an abortion, get a burger. You're out in 2 hours. No waiting. How do you know that he's going to be like, because you have no indication, Republicans, that this guy has any core, any real values that are like inherent in his DNA. Doesn't exist because he's a big phony baloney.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't have the problem. I mean, you would have had, if I were there, I'm licensed to carry. I will tell you this. If I were there... If somebody were there if we had some firepower in the opposite direction, those people would have been gone. But they talked about this guy, and he was a slob. And by the way, let me tell you.
They talk about this guy. He was a slob. Let me tell you. And he said if he had his gun, his concealed carry firearm in Paris, didn't he just get finished saying you're not allowed to carry a concealed gun in Paris?
Yeah, but no. I get his point, but it's a bad point.
It is a terrible point. Like, I could just see, like...
All it is, it's just wish fulfillment.
It is.
You know, his entire candidacy is wish fulfillment.
It really, really is.
Lowest common denominator.
Yep. Absolutely. And he's going to be the Republican Party nominee. I mean, I'm completely open to the possibility that he couldn't be, that he might not be. But no one has presented any evidence or any sort of hypothetical situation where Donald Trump says or does something that makes him drop in the polls. The only thing that could happen to Donald Trump to take the nomination away from him is if the Republicans just decide, hey, you know what? Screw that guy. We're bringing in Romney. We're going to up Ted Cruz. We're going to make him the nominee.
And if they do that, the Republican Party splits in half.
Right. We're going to bring in Cruz, and it'll be Cruz Rubio. And we're going to win the Latino vote, even though the Latinos don't really care about Cruz and Rubio.
No, they don't.
But that'll be the cynical.
If you're Cuban, you like Cruz and Rubio.
Yeah.
If you're any other kind of Latino, you don't give a shit about Cruz and Rubio.
So yeah, so Cruz and Rubio becomes a ticket, and the Republicans win South Florida, and that's it.
Yep. Exactly. Thank you.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it'll do gangbusters in Miami.
All right, we have one more show on Thursday. Of course, post-mortem shows today and Thursday, plus the after party on Friday. And then we're off for the holidays. I so need it. I need it. Need a time to refuel the outrage tanks. Coming up on the Postmortem Show today, we're going to talk about more about this Las Vegas rally. There was an African-American protester who was accosted and hauled away, and someone shouted, "Light that MF-er on fire."
Yep.
The GOP, House GOP, taking big, important action before the holidays. We're going to talk about that. Proposing a new resolution in the House of Representatives. Very serious stuff. And then maybe this audio of this racist Marine accosting Black Lives Matter protesters. Reminds me of some of the Jesse Ventura clips that we played in the past. All right, that's coming up on the Postmortem Show. Sign up, support the show, get the Best of Badondi shows coming up over the holiday breaks at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Thank you for all of your support there. It makes this show go around. We couldn't do it without you. So please help support the show over at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Postmortem Show is up next. See you there. Bye-bye.